Bibles tonight to the book of James, chapter number 4. I just want to give you a very brief thought this evening. Very familiar verse of Scripture. I'm sure most of you have heard this verse many times, but I think sometimes these great verses of Scripture, and all of them, I guess, are great, never try to minimize one scripture from the other because it's all the word of the Lord. But I guess some things are more memorable to me than they are to others. And this is one of those verses of Scripture that I think sometime we ought to really take to heart. Because James asked a question tonight, and he asked this question, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Father, we thank you this evening that we have the opportunity to come and worship in spirit and in truth. We ask you this afternoon, Lord, that you might bless your word. You might give us the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You might this evening let us lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus. And that everything we say and everything we do will be pleasing in thy sight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. James here, as he is talking to these Christians of his time, compares our life to a vapor. I would say that would be in like a fog. The other morning, I was coming back home, and I was coming into Kentucky, and I looked, and I guess it was the Blue Ridge Mountains. I don't know if that's the ones or not, but it was a very beautiful sight as you come down a hill, and all at once you look, and there's just a fog, a vapor covering at the top of that mountain, and it's a very beautiful sight. And I pulled into a little place and got me some breakfast, and when I came back out and left, it was all gone. The vapor had disappeared. And James says that's the way our life is. It appeareth for just a brief time, and then it vanisheth away. John Wesley was one time hoeing in his garden, and a lady asked him, said, "Mr. Wesley, if you knew that you were going to die tonight, what would you do this afternoon?" He said, "Well, I guess I'd continue hoeing my garden." I wonder tonight, what would I do? What would you do tonight if you had but one day to live? If the Lord was to come to you and say, "You have one day, and that's it. You have one day to live." You know, there was a man over in the Old Testament by the name of Hezekiah, and the Lord sent a prophet to him. And the prophet went to him and told him that God was going to do something. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. "And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." Hezekiah was sick. "And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now, boy, that's something, isn't it? Isaiah, the prophet of God, comes in where Hezekiah is on his sickbed. And he said, "The Lord sent me." And the Lord said, "You better get your house in order. You better get your affairs right. Because you're not going to live, you're going to die." And as you look at this, you'll see that Hezekiah had a little bit of a change in his attitude than what he'd had a few days previous to this. And I don't have time to back up for that. But Hezekiah, when the prophet told him that, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah didn't want to die. And Hezekiah's attitude changed, and he grew repentant toward God. He had remorse, and he had sorrow in his heart. And God answered that prayer and gave him 15 more years. This evening, I think sometime we need to realize what God said to Hezekiah. It can also be said unto us this evening. I think a lot of times we think that we're going to live forever, that we're the only ones that's going to make it out alive. Well, you know, we are going to live in one sense forever, but that's not true of this life. That's not true of this world this evening. It used to be an old bluegrass song years ago, and I haven't heard it in a long, long time. I think the Osmond brothers sang it. And it said, you don't have to go to heaven, but you can't stay here. You don't have to go to heaven, but you can't stay here. What would we do if the Lord said you have but one day to live? What would I do and what would you do this evening? I think the first thing we would do and we should do, and everybody tonight better make sure of, that they're prepared to meet God. That they're prepared to come face to face with the Lord God Almighty. Amos, in the book of Amos, as he spoke to the children of Israel, and as they had been in sin against God, as they had rebelled against the Lord's word, went into idolatry and many other things, and Amos came preaching, and he began to talk to them, and paraphrasing it, he said, I've sent floods, I've sent earthquakes, I've sent mudslides, I've destroyed your crops. God has sent all kinds of messengers to draw you back to himself. And he said, now I want to tell you something, Israel. God himself is coming, and you better prepare to meet your God. You know, this evening, we better be prepared to meet the Lord tonight. The most important thing I could ever tell you tonight is prepare to meet God. A lot of people are prepared to die more than in some worldly ways this evening. They have life insurance policies, and many people have went down and picked out their caskets, and they have all of their funeral pre-planned and prepaid. They've got everything settled about what's going to happen after they die. And all of that's good, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. You should have a will. You should tonight do all of those things. But if you do that to the exclusion of preparing to meet God, then you've missed it all tonight. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed on the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. C.I. Scofield, the individual who put most of the notes in the Scofield Bible, was at one time a lawyer, an attorney, and he was a very wicked attorney. He was a drunkard and many other things wrong in his life. And came a time in his life when he met Charles Finnegan, and he, as he talked to him, he began to ask him, he said, well, Scofield, what are you going to do? He said, you finished law school, and now you went into law practice. What are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to kind of straighten up my life, and I'm going to be a good lawyer. He said, then what? He said, well, then I'm going to try to build me a home and find a wife. He said, then what? He said, I'm going to have some children and raise them. He said, then what? He said, well, then I'll get to the point maybe I can retire and enjoy the rest of my life. And he said, then what? And he said, what do you mean? He said, then what is the judgment? You see tonight, then what? What is it tonight? It's the judgment of God. Well, we better be prepared to do that. And the number one question I would ask of you this evening, and I ask of myself, and I would ask of every individual, very simply, very bluntly, but very simply tonight, are you ready to meet God? Amen. Are you ready to meet God? Have you been washed in the blood? God's not going to be impressed with our credentials. He's not going to be impressed with our status in life. He's not going to be impressed with anything that we've ever done. God tonight is not impressed by us at all. God tonight, righteousness tonight is satisfied only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And the only way a person will ever prepare to meet God is to have his sins washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus this evening. Amen. Multitudes of people yesterday had one day to live, and today they're no longer with us, and I wonder, were they ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Well, that's a good question tonight, isn't it? But if you are, you say, well, I'm saved, preacher. I've been washed in the blood. I've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Well, then what would you do? You know, I began to think about that the other day, and I think there's some things we would not do. I don't think we'd try to serve two masters. You know, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, Jesus said that it's not possible. Well, listen to what he said in Matthew chapter number 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we sometimes hear people talk about what a great sermon that was, and they want to take their life and base it upon that. And that's the part of the scriptures they want to hold on to. I want to be honest with you tonight. Jesus said some pretty tough things in the Sermon on the Mount this evening. In verse number 24 of Matthew 6, he said, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Jesus didn't say it's hard to do it. He didn't say it takes a lot of willpower to do it. But Jesus very simply said, you can't serve two masters. I think too many times this evening we try to serve two masters. Too many times we are looking tonight at one thing when we really ought to be looking at something else. Impossible to serve two masters. And you know, I've found that's true in life. It's really true. One fellow said that's the reason the Lord was against polygamy. No man could serve two masters. So you think about that one. But you can't serve two masters. You know, Jesus said, you'll cling to one, go away from the other. It's just, you just can't do it. It's impossible. Sometimes we get drawn off the track and we get drawn away from the Lord. We get to the walking down the wrong trail with somebody else leading us instead of the Lord, instead of us following the Lord tonight. But I believe tonight that if the Lord said we have but one day to live, we'd all say, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do that day? What can I do? I don't think we'd be procrastinators. One time in a country church, the preacher was preaching in. After the service, one of the ladies came up to him and said, preacher, in your sermon, you mentioned procrastination. And I want to know what that means. And he backed up and said, lady, you mean you do not know the major doctrine of the Baptist Church? I don't think we'd put things off, would we? I figure we'd use every second that we have, every minute that we have. We'd redeem the time. We'd make sure that we took advantage of every opportunity the Lord put to us, every second that we had to live. We wouldn't procrastinate and not do what we should do. I don't think we'd be on, I don't think we'd be frivolous about the things of God. Probably mean a lot more to us than they do most of the time. The things of the Lord would probably become the priority in our life. And we wouldn't be as frivolous about the church. We wouldn't be as frivolous about the Bible. We wouldn't be as frivolous about prayer. We wouldn't be as frivolous about witnessing and testifying. We wouldn't be so frivolous tonight if we knew we had but one day to live. We'd be, as Paul said, redeeming the time. I don't think we'd be unkind. Many things tonight as we could go through the scripture and say. But the main thing tonight, I want you to just stop and think of what James is saying. He said, your life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. And you see, the thing about it is, not one person here tonight can tell me they don't have one but one day to live. Some of us could die before tomorrow. I'm not saying we will, but we don't know, do we? We don't know. You think about that. You see, you never know when you have but one day to live. And if we only have one day to live, maybe we need to do what the Lord wants us to do more than what we do now. You think about that. That's my thought. That's what the Lord said. Hey, you don't know how long you've got to live. You may live 20 years. You may live 20 minutes. But you don't know. But you ought to live every day as if you had but one day to live. Might be a big change in the whole world, mightn't it? I don't know tonight about you, but when I meet the Lord, I want him to say, welcome home. And I know that when I have to face him, there's a lot of things I'll have to tell him. A lot of things I've neglected to do. A lot of things I've done that I shouldn't have done. But you know, the Lord always lets us start tomorrow with a clean slate. His mercies are new every morning. So I think I'm going to start each day with a clean slate, trying to live my life as if I had but one day to live. As the fog vanished off the mountain, so our lives will vanish from the face of this earth one day. You don't have to go to heaven, but you can't stay here. All right, if you'll stand with me, Brother Rufian Barber, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' precious, holy name I pray. Amen.